Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can meet, Lord. We can sing these songs. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. And even in times of trouble, times of distress, Lord, we can find comfort in you, Lord. We just pray that we'll always look to you, Lord, and give our lives completely to you now, Lord. We just pray for this time as we look into your word. We just pray give us wisdom. Teach us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, if you've got your Bible, open it up just to John chapter 10 to start with. But we'll just have a little bit of a recap of the last couple of Sunday nights that I've preached on. When I started, I've kind of made it into a series. So tonight, we'll be looking at, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to give up in being a Christian and in serving the Lord. So the first sermon that we had the other week was, who will we serve? And remember, Jesus, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus said, yeah, all these things are good, but one thing. And that guy went away sorrowful. But then also, we also looked when Jesus went and called his disciples and they followed him. They made a conscious decision to follow the Lord, and we also need to make a conscious decision to follow the Lord. We looked at Joshua, where he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have made a decision to follow the Lord and to do what he says. And Elijah, on top of Mount Carmel, he says, how long will you hold between two opinions? If God is God, serve him, but if Baal is God, then serve him. Make a decision who you are going to follow. And when we make these decisions, a conscious decision to follow the Lord, it'll help us in the tough times. If we just make a bit of a wishy-washy, yeah, maybe kind of thing, when the struggles come, we'll give up. And last week we looked at Matthew 26:41, where Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. And we looked at Romans chapter 7. Where Paul writes about doing the things that he doesn't want to do and not doing the things that he wants to do. And we fall down, and I drew the picture on the board of us going up in our Christian life, and we fall down into these pits. And we fall down into these pits and we struggle. But what we do in those times, we need to look to the Lord to get us through. We need to look to the Lord. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and get down and cry out to the Lord so he can help us through these times. And so we're going to look tonight on laying down our lives for the Lord. We haven't physically had to lay down our lives. Actually, before we look at John, go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, also known as the faith chapter. Got lots of good things in it there, lots of people there, lots of examples that are given to us. These things are written as an example so we can look at these things. And let's just read down from verse 32. We'll read down through to the end of the chapter. And as you know, that chapter's gone through Isaac and Joseph and Moses and Noah and all of these people. And it says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Before we go on through here, we look through these chapters and we look at the people who have done great things. You know, in times of trouble and trial, we think of people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they stood up for the Lord. They stood up to the king. King Nebuchadnezzar, imagine standing up to that insane guy. And they said to him, they said, our God can deliver us. And I love that they say, but if he doesn't, just you know that we're not going to serve you. And God delivered them. But God doesn't deliver everyone. God doesn't deliver everyone out of these troubles. Look at what it says in verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. But from here it says, and others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. Isn't that something else, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, the bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promised, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And so we look here that God doesn't deliver everyone out of the trial. He doesn't deliver everyone out of the fire. He doesn't deliver everyone out of the prison miraculously with an earthquake and the doors open and the chains fall off, or waking Peter up in the night and the gates just open up as he walks his way out of the prison and out to the street. God doesn't always do that. It's going to come with a cost at some point. It's going to come with a cost. But look at what it says here. In the last part of verse 35, and let's focus on this part of the verse, and it says where it says, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. If you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or if you know anything about the persecution that goes on in the world, or you've read Tortured for Christ, if you know what went on in the Romanian prisons in the communist days in Africa, right now in Syria. Syria is not a good place for Christians at the moment. Sudan also isn't. And Christians are being persecuted by the thousands. They have the opportunity to get out. They have the opportunity with the jailer standing in front of them saying, sign this piece of paper and you can go free. The door's open. Just go. Sign that bit of paper. Sign that bit of paper, and you can go. Some did. We won't judge them for that because we've never been in such a situation, but many didn't. Many people didn't. Look what it says, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. How hard would that be? Freedom is there. If you've read that book, Tortured for Christ, he is a strong man. He said, we loved singing. And when we sung, they beat us. And they were happy beating us, and we were happy singing, so we were all happy. Oh, that's just something else, isn't it? Ah, man, that's laying down your life, isn't it? That is laying down your life. It's going to, sooner or later, it's going to cost us something to serve the Lord. It's not a small thing to take up. And as we've looked through these people, we look at that rich young ruler who weighed it up how much it was going to cost him to follow the Lord, and he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. And as Jesus walked around and he saw the fishermen, he saw Peter and James and John and the sons of Zebedee and these guys, and he said, come and follow me. And they went, yes, and they followed him. And they left their nets, they left their father, they left their boats, they left their business, they left their family, they left everything, and they went and they followed the Lord. Have a look, go back to Matthew chapter 10. I told you John chapter 10. We could go there too, but we won't just yet, if we get there. Matthew chapter 10, and this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. And it was a good message that we had this morning, brother, on Matthew chapter 9. And Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells the people the realities of going out and doing work. If you read and study through Matthew chapter 10, there is so many warnings and so many promises and so many instructions that he gives to his disciples there just before he sends them out. But let's go down to verse 34. And this is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. This is where things are going to start to cost you. Things cost when you become a Christian. Things cost, and we don't live in a Muslim country, but if you become a Muslim, if you're in a Muslim country and you become a Christian, what's going to happen to you? Basically, I think if it's a girl, your brother's going to kill you. Isn't that how it works? Something crazy like that. Basically, you're dead. You're going to have to run away. You're going to have to hide. You're going to have to be very careful, and it's going to cost you. And let's read down through here, verse 34. It says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Oh, that's a cost, isn't it? That's a cost. And we in this country don't really have to weigh a cost up like that too much. We might cop a little bit of flack from our unsaved people, but in some countries, in some cultures, you become a Christian, you are giving up everything. You are giving up everything. Look at verse 37, let's go down. It says, but this is where it comes in. We do need to put the Lord in the right place, in the right position in our lives. Look at what it says in verse 37. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So you're telling me I need to love God more than my parents? Well, that's a big thing, isn't it? We need to love the Lord more. We need to obey him. We need to follow him. We need to love him. We need to put him first. And look at this. It says, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We need to put God before our children. We need to put God before our family in our lives. In our Christian lives, we need to put God first before everybody. Husbands, we need to put God before our wives. God's the first, wives the second, and kids after that. And then other people. And we need to put God in our right place. And it's going to cost us. And that's going to cost you sometimes. Look at verse 38. It says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. If we don't take up the cross of Christ, we are not worthy of the Lord. We are not worthy. And you look at those people that we looked about in Hebrews, and it says they didn't accept deliverance. They carried the cross. They carried the cross. And we are having to carry a different kind of cross. Still, we carry the cross of Christ, but we're not carrying that kind of persecution. So what are we carrying? What kind of sacrifice are we giving for the Lord? What are we giving up for the Lord, really? What are we really giving up for the Lord? Are we giving up our lives for the Lord? Well, we're not in prison accepting deliverance. We're not becoming saved and becoming Christians against our culture and against our family and against the religion that we're in that's going to cost us our lives. What are we giving up for the Lord? I ask you that. What are you giving up for the Lord? What are you actually really giving up for the Lord? Do you give up anything for the Lord? What's the Lord asked you to give up? Do you need to give anything up for the Lord? Do we need to give anything up for the Lord? Or do we just keep floating along on our merry little way and we just keep going along just like nothing's changed, and we just keep living our lives, and I'll just say I'm a Christian, and I'll just keep going to work, and I'll just keep floating along with my friends, and I'll just keep going along to the parties, and I'll just keep doing all these things, and I'll just say I'm a Christian, and I'll just keep going along like the world? Is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do something pretty drastic. Have a look over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. You probably know what this verse is saying. It talks about mortifying. Mortifying. I think that's the verse. Mortify. What does mortify mean? It's a scary kind of sounding word, isn't it? It's a mortician. Where do you go when you're dead? You go to a morgue. Mortify means to put to death. Means to put to death. So these are some of the things that we need to put to death. These are some of the things that we need to give up to live for the Lord. Look at verse 13. It says, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We need to mortify some things in our lives. We need to cut some things off. We need to put to death some of these things. And that's what repentance is. When we repent of things, we're cutting those things off and we're stepping away from those things, which is kind of like the opposite of apostasy. It's interesting learning about apostasy, which is to step away from, but we're stepping away from God being an apostate. But when we become a Christian, we're actually repenting and we're stepping away. We're being an apostate from the world, I guess you could say that. Is that a right thing to say? We're being an apostate from the world and we're stepping away from the things of the world that we shouldn't be doing. The old man, the old life, the works of the flesh. Go into Colossians. I didn't write the verse down in Colossians. Yeah, I knew you'd know. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians somewhere. First one to find it. I'll say good on you. 3:5, there it is. I found it there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, let's say, here's some of the things that we need to mortify. Okay, all right, you ready for this? And then we just go, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. Well, then that's good for you. Ready? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now also put off all of these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whoa, there's a difference there, isn't it? See, you used to be like that. We used to be like that. Have a look over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, and we'll see where we were. Okay, so when we become a Christian, we need to sacrifice these things. We need to give these things up. We need to change. We need to be different. Look at what it says in Ephesians 5:8. It says, now ye were sometimes. Ye were sometimes. That doesn't mean sometimes you're like this, sometimes you aren't. Maybe it is, but it's talking about before. Before you were saved. Look what it says. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the children. Ah, hang on a minute. Missed half the verse. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Before we were like this. Before we were darkness. Before we were unclean. Before we were living in sin. Before we were like this. But now walk as children of light. We are light in the Lord. And what it was saying in Colossians, in Christ. What it says in Corinthians, it says we are a new creature. We are a new creation in Christ. We aren't like we used to be. So we need to change some things. We need to give up a whole bunch of stuff for the Lord. We need to change the way that we live. We need to lay down our life. We need to lay ourselves down. Well, it's called death to self. Oh, who likes that? Death to self. Oh, death to self. I hate dying to self. Who likes dying to self? No one put their hand up. And it's the spirit that's willing, isn't it? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we want to. We want to do these things for the Lord. We want to cut off these things. We want to die to ourselves so that we can grow in the Lord, and then the Lord can use us. But he can't use us until we lay these things down. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We're going to finish up on this verse. We're going to talk about giving ourselves up. We need to give ourselves up. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to give it to the Lord. When you give something to the Lord, do you get to take it back? Do you get to take it back? Oh, sorry, Pastor Buddy, I put some money in the offering. Can I get some change? I put 50 bucks in. I was only meant to give 10. Come on. We don't get it back from the Lord, do we? We don't get to say, I want this back. I want this back. And look at what it says here. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Look what it says at the start. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We need to give ourselves. And when we go to God, and so many times we do it, don't we? How many times have we gone, oh, Lord, I give you everything. But don't touch that or 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 that. You know that song, Not a Mite Would I Withhold? I don't reckon we should sing these songs. Out of principle. How many mites have I withheld? Hey, man, a lot. When I shouldn't have. And when God said, go on. And sometimes we go, and we go to give these things to the Lord. We want to give ourselves to the Lord, and we come down and we might pray one night, and we are genuinely serious. we are genuinely serious and we get on our knees beside our bed or whatever and we get convicted and we go, Lord, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm not going to be like I was today. And we get down and we give everything to the Lord and we go, Lord, it is all yours. You can have the house, you can have the car, you can have all the money, you can have everything that's in there, you can have my kids, you can have my wife, you can have absolutely everything. Lord, I just give it all to you. I give you myself. Lord, use me and do whatever you want with me. And we sincerely mean it. And then the next day we get up and we go, oh yeah, awesome, take it back, take my pocket, take my wife back, take my kids back, take my house back, take my car back. And we don't actually really give it to the Lord, do we? And we do that. And it's a battle. And it's hard. And it's a sacrifice. But we need to keep doing it. We need to give ourselves to the Lord, present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, the Old Testament sacrifice, they put up a dead lamb up there. Well, I'm not talking about sacrificing yourself because you can't do anything for the Lord if you did that. But he wants you there so he can use you. He wants us there clean. He wants us there holy. He wants us there pure. He wants us to cut off these things that we're holding on to and these things that we do, this uncleanness and this fornication and this lying and this filthy communication and all those things that we've read through that we've listed tonight. We need to cut those things off because while we've got all of these things, the Lord can't use us. He says, I can't use you when you're like that. Before I can use you, you need to get rid of those things. Before I use you, you need to cut those things off. And then once we're there, once we've cut these things off, or I'm not saying we cut them all off and then we're totally perfect. No way, we're constantly dealing with them. Once we're actually there, and once we're willing for God to use us, then he can use us. Once we're there and we say, like in Isaiah says, what does he say? He says, here am I, Lord, send me. The Lord says, who's going to go? And he says, well, I'll go. And until we get to that point, the Lord can't really use us. And even if we say that to the Lord, if we've still got all of this baggage and stuff, he still can't use us. We need to be at a decent, right spot before the Lord. Look at what it says. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy and acceptable. You know, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord is holy. He is perfect. Now, we're not going to be perfect, not in this life. But which way are we going? Where are we heading? What are we giving to the Lord? What are we actually sacrificing for the Lord? What are we actually giving up for the Lord? What's there? Well, have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you presented yourself? Have we put ourselves on the altar? Have we given ourselves to the Lord so he can actually use us and said, okay, Lord, use me. Okay, Lord, use me. I'm ready. Use me. And you know what will happen then? God will show you something else. Oh, you're ready? All right, that's good. I'm ready. You say I'm ready to be used by you. Then there's something else that God goes, aha, yeah, you know about this? And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, Lord. Okay, all right. Oh, man, I did that yesterday. Come on. You know, and God shows you. And that's good. That's good. Because that's God working in your life. And that's God showing you what you need to cut off. And that's God showing you what you need to work on. Because we all have areas. We all have different temptations and different sins. And God says, okay, you're lapsing back down this way again. And you go, oh, okay, Lord, help me with this. And he helps us along. And that's good. It's the Lord molding us and we're submitting ourselves to God. But when we buck up and when God says, well, what about this? And we go, don't you worry about that, Lord. That's going to stay there. That's a problem. That's a problem. Are we ready to sacrifice those things that the Lord says, sacrifice those things? And that's a hard thing. And it's a constant, constant battle. It goes along with what I was talking about with last week, with we don't do the things that we should be doing and we do the things that we don't want to be doing because all those things are holding us back and we want to go for the Lord but we can't because these things are pulling us back but we're not going to go all the way into the world because the Lord's working on us this way and you're constantly battling like this. But praise the Lord for his goodness. You know, God is merciful, isn't he? Imagine if he wasn't, we'd all be dead. Let's just say, I don't think I've ever met a Christian who's been saved for any decent amount of time and says, if I wasn't Christian, I reckon I'd be dead. You just can't imagine what it would be like living without the Lord, can you? You can't imagine what it would be like living without the Lord. Where would we be if it wasn't for his goodness? Even though we keep sinning, he says, okay, come. Okay, come. Oh, every time we confess. Oh, 70 times 7. Oh, it's only a year and a half's worth of sins anyway. Oh, oh man. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And when we fight against God, he's willing to work with us. He's willing to work with us. He's willing to love us. He's willing to care for us. He's willing to provide for us. And his mercy is good. And that psalm that we read this evening was a good psalm. Praise the Lord for his goodness. His mercy is everlasting and endureth to all generations. Isn't that a good psalm? Isn't the Lord good for what he does to us? Even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything. We're not good people. We haven't done anything at all to merit. We've broken all of these things 100,000 times. But the Lord says, you're my child and I love you. And I'll forgive you. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love that you have for us. Lord, we are sorry, Lord, for our sins and for the things that we do, Lord, and for how we hold on to these different things and we don't want to let them go, Lord. I just pray that we will leave these things, that we can give them up, Lord. I just pray that you can work in my life and help me to be closer to you, Lord. Help me to be used by you, to be usable. Help me to be clean and pure and holy, Lord, and to give myself to you, Lord. I just pray that you watch over us, Lord, through this week. Thank you for all your goodness, for sending your Son to die for us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.